Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, I hope it's a great Monday for you. Let's talk about the COVID and where we stand with things today. Siobhan Donovan is our state senator in Henrico County. She's also a doctor here and has been with us every Monday for the last several months as we try to make sense of the data that comes in. And I keep reading stories this week, and I can't tell whether they're political or whether they're medical, about another surge, another spike, and the possibility of renewed shutdowns across the country. Is there any reason for us to be talking about that, you think?
Can you hear me okay, John?
Yes, ma'am.
Good. I don't honestly know. I don't think so, based on everything I've seen about, viruses as they present and cycle through. I can tell you in Virginia, we have had an incredibly low percent positive rate since June, since mid-June.
Right.
And we're now in October. We're well below the 5% threshold that the World Health Organization set. I have seen, it's just so hard to say because you just can't tell how accurate reports are that you get as you trace these things across the country. But I am not particularly concerned about a second surge. I think that as we look at the data again and again and again, that most of the positive tests that we have now are in younger people, and we're going to be able to see that data more clearly when the bill I carried in special session goes through. Mm-hmm. But the deaths are still over 90% of the deaths in Virginia are still over age 60 and associated with comorbidities. So I think we know how to manage where we are and contact trace and keep the numbers low. Excuse me. And so I think we're at a steady state for now, at least in Virginia.
I spent some of my time at a big event in Northern Virginia where you may have heard me talking earlier. We had to spit in vials and, it was almost like a Olympic steroid testing, the very serious way they approach this. And everyone in the room got a negative test or they wouldn't have been allowed to stay. And yet in Northern Virginia, these people were still extremely paranoid about spreading the virus. And I'm puzzled by that. I mean, at this state, can we ever get to a place where we function normally if there is this very palpable fear in the most basic daily interactions? I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe the vaccine does it, but I'm not even sure that will calm the fear that seems to be real in a lot of people.
Well, I think we're going to have leadership. I think leadership can come from science, and the science is pretty clear on this. It gets muffled and suppressed in the conversations that the press chooses to focus on. I think there's a clear path for leadership here in being able to discern that going forward is more important for our health, continuing to reopen the economy, getting kids back in school. Unequivocally, the risks that we're taking now from suppressing all of those things that are important in our life because we're concerned about a virus that we are able to identify the at-risk groups and, in many cases, how to trace and contain it. It just seems self-evident. And I can't understand why it's not happening. So,
well, you saw the story from the World Health Organization doing a 180, it seemed, on the lockdown, and acknowledging that we're doing a great deal of damage health-wise, mental, physical, with individual citizens with the lockdown. And at this stage, now that we've got some data that indicates who's most vulnerable, that we should recalibrate on this. I was impressed that someone would actually say it, but that seems to be controversial.
It is, because it doesn't support the narrative.
Yeah.
But it is data and science. And so, you know, this is, people are looking at this situation in a vacuum, and they're looking at data that doesn't help inform them for a risk analysis, like how many new cases there are, which is, you know, an absolutely, in, you know, useless data point in trying to decide what the risk is, because you only worry about cases that result in significant illness or death.
Right.
And so, you know, it's baffling, but I never like to affix intent to other people, but there is definitely a misrepresentation of what the risk analysis is of how we're handling COVID. That misrepresentation is resulting in inappropriate fear and anxiety and cost. Think about what it cost in that event you were at to do all of that testing. Meanwhile, we have people suffering with medical, mental health issues, access to education, just the basic pyramid of human needs. We are trying to figure out how people don't get evicted. We're just on the wrong path here.
Yeah.
And there's a willfulness to disregard the data that is clear and evident that supports a reverse in our plan.
You know, I'm pro-capitalism, but I have to tell you that the point you just made about think about the costs, one of the things that worries me is that some businesses have figured out how to capitalize financially on this crisis, and they will hire lobbyists to go to Congress and say, hey, you know what, we need to test, and guess how much money we're going to make off all of this. And that mm-hmm. financial incentive generally works in the, I think objectively, it generally works in the favor of society to advance, but I'm wondering whether we're about to create a financial incentive to continue this craziness going forward.
I think their self-interest is always what is being lobbied at the General Assembly,
mm-hmm.
and obviously in D.C. Mm-hmm. as well, too. And so that's why you have to have some sort of, you have to have a set of principles by which you evaluate each issue. And you have to have, really an ability to dive into the data and evidence and see what's really supported, because that's what lobbying is. Lobbying is presenting self-interest.
Yeah.
And, can
so
you do
to
that
be
in
smart
a
smart enough to stick to the data objectively
right.
before we start spending money? Hey, I'm watching the clock, and I don't want to go without asking you about some of the ballot issues and the General Assembly issues that are kind of percolating. I was in Rockingham County last night for a great event, and a lot of your colleagues were there, and they spoke about some of the chaos and really nefarious things that are happening at the Assembly and this constitutional amendment, the first issue that people encounter on their ballot when they go to vote.
Yeah, I think the constitutional amendment is a really exciting opportunity for us to reverse some of the insanity that we're seeing in our politics now. And that's by creating a transparent commission to to draw the lines for redistricting. Mm. And transparency is probably the most important adjective there. If lines get drawn behind closed doors, as we've seen in the past of the General Assembly, nobody will ever know how it was done or, you know, what went into it, because those papers are protected from FOIA. And nobody can ever figure out how decisions were made. Mm-hmm. With this commission, it will still be political. Half of the commission will be citizens and not politicians, which is another great aspect of it. But it will still be, it will be political, but it will also have to show its work and how it arrived at it and use data. And
yeah.
so We need to make sure that we have a representative government, that people actually, where people actually get to choose their elected instead of electeds choosing who votes for them. So that ballot one amendment is really important this year. I hope everybody will vote yes, because it's just plain good government.
Yeah, that's the one that all the Democrats wanted until they took power. And now they're doing a 180, which is the most, one of the most cynical things I've ever seen. I'm glad you brought it up so that we can talk through it before all these opportunities pass. State Senator and Dr. Siobhan Donovan, thank you. I'm always happy to talk to you.
Thank you. Same here.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.